Okay, it's 2 minutes early. So those of you that are listening are going to have to hear me do this again at 6 o'clock. But welcome to the Monday night EBS conference call. My name is Wade Free, and my co-host is, what is your name, please?
Terry Brown.
Terry Brown. And
yes.
Actually, she's the star of the show. I'm the opening act. And we have a really interesting show tonight. And we do something on this show that is pretty rare to do live, and it comes under the category of interdimensional communication, talking with intelligence in other realms, but not just in other realms, maybe as high as you can get in the universe. That's how they describe themselves. Now, we can't prove that, but they have this unique property of being able to move in and out of our dimension as love light. That's what they call it. And that many people on these calls experience that energy right over the phone. So hold on to your hat, sit down on your chair, and get ready for not only some great information, but maybe an interdimensional experience of higher realms. And we do this with a conference call, and I'm going to go get the conference call people. I'll be back in a couple minutes.
Back to see, look back to see that I can't sit still.
What are you going to talk about, Terry?
I don't know what's the topic tonight.
The stars will say from home, I don't even tell you. She doesn't know. She's channeling.
It's real.
I don't even think about it. Okay, I'll tell you the topic.
These things go around my...
It's wanderers and starseeds.
Oh, okay. Welcome, everybody. This is Terry Brown, and that's a very interesting topic, wanderers and starseeds. I know from firsthand experiences, I have been a wanderer, and I remember a lot of my stopping off places where I've stopped for a while and worked, and then I've continued on, despite the people that I was around or the spirits I was around saying, oh no, don't go down to the third dimension, you will get in trouble. And I needed to come here to find out why so many people got into trouble when they came into the third dimension. So I've explored quite a number of places, and I've learned an awful lot, and I have memories of where I've been and how it's gotten more and more complex as I've moved into the third dimension. And Wynn is on his way to get the conference line, and we have a call that is partly people that are on the conference line and listening and are tied into BBS radio. And then we have callers that are on BBS radio. And for those of you that don't know it, the call is recorded by BBS radio, and you can go in to the archives, and I think it takes a subscription, but you can go in there and listen to the audios on BBS radio of the shows that they've previously had. Are you back, Wynn?
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Wynn.
Let me see. Let's see if we have everyone on the conference line. Are you guys here?
Yeah, we're here.
Hello?
We're here.
Hello, Wynn. Yeah.
See that? Everyone's there, Terry.
And hi, everybody. People on the call, I think, already.
Yeah.
But most of the people have not stated their name and where they're from.
Oh, yeah, well, I suppose they felt shy because Hayes wasn't there. They said, who's this strange voice? Well, before we mute you all, you know what? I better start recording this. Just we haven't... Hi there, this is Wynn. Just don't say anything yet.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
Hey, this is Monday, June 6th. This is Winfrey, and we are live on BBS Radio and on a conference line. And my co-host, Terry Brown. Are you there, Terry?
Here I am.
There's Terry, formerly known as the shy Terry Brown. And anyone new coming into the line that would like to say their name in the city?
Yeah.
Hello, this is Emily, and I'm from Yelm, Washington.
Hi, Emily.
Hi.
Is this your first time on the line?
It is.
Well, welcome to you, okay?
Thank you.
You must think you're a wanderer starseed. I'll bet you are, too, I can tell.
You can tell already. I think you're right.
You can tell already. Right. Anyone else want to say anything?
Yes, my name is Robert Thomas, and I'm from Dufuniak Springs, Florida.
Hi, Robert. Is this your first time?
Hi,
this
Robert.
This is your first time, too. Well, welcome. I'm so glad to have you guys. And anyone else want to say something?
Hey, Wynn, it's Julie.
Hi, Julie. Julie's a regular. She's our favorite person, and she's very unique. She lives with a bunch of chickens and roosters in Ojai. And she is most definitely somebody from another dimension.
You think so, Wynn? It takes one to know one, doesn't it?
No doubt about it. Anyone else like to say their name in the city?
Hi, Wynn.
Hi, this is
Missouri.
From Santa Monica.
Now, wait a second. Who's from Missouri? That's Dee.
Dee Collier.
Hi, Dee.
Hi, Dee.
Hi, Terry.
And who else is there?
Cindy from Peoria. Peoria, Arizona.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hi, Cindy. All my Cindy friends live in Phoenix.
In Arizona.
Right,
I
right.
know.
Okay.
And this is Tom from Maryland.
Hi, Tom. It's good to have you again. Do you notice, Tom, as you keep checking in, how it's like you feel more present, like your personality says, oh, I'm here. They really know me. Have you sensed that? That's one of the... You didn't say yes. Maybe I'm wrong. You know,
Sacramento.
Who is that?
Hello. Zoe Sacramento.
It's Zoe in Sacramento. And who else came in?
Lisa. Hi, Wynn. Becky from Calabasas.
Wait a second. Becky?
Becky from Calabasas, but soon moving in a week to Thousand Oaks.
Okay. You're leaving the... Vicky in Calabasas is moving to Thousand Oaks. All right. Hi, Vicky.
Hi.
That's Vicky Burt, right?
Right.
Okay. And who else?
Wynn, can you hear me? It's Maria, Los Angeles.
Maria? Hi,
yes.
Maria. Is this your first time?
It is, sir.
God, nice to have you. And
thank you.
Anyone else?
Hey, Michael in San Diego.
Hello.
Lisa.
Michael is a famous actor now in San Diego. He's performing at what city, Michael?
In San Diego, we're performing a play by William S. Gilbert. It's about someone who disrupts the time-space continuum. and alternate universes, and it was written in the late 1800s by William S. Gilbert of Gilbert and Sullivan fame.
Wow.
All right. Cool. That's the same guy that did Pirates of Penzance, right? If I'm saying it right. Mm-hmm. Probably not.
Famous Gilbert and Sullivan.
Mm-hmm. I have my own personal experience with Gilbert and Sullivan. That I told the story one time, but I don't think I'll tell it tonight. I'll tell it again someday. And who else is on the line?
Hi, Wynn. It's Mara in New York.
Hi, Mara. In Brooklyn. Brooklyn or New York City?
No, Manhattan.
Manhattan.
I have laryngitis, so my voice is funny, so I really need some light tonight.
All right. What part of Manhattan?
Upper East Side.
Upper East Side?
Yep.
I'll tell you what. Let's all just focus some loving energy on Mara. Did something heavy happen?
No, I just got run down with something, and this happens to me when I get run down.
You got sick, huh?
Yeah, I got a cold. I just had a lot of stuff going on in my head. So I got run down. Thank you. I appreciate the energy.
You're very welcome. Anyone else want to say hello?
I'm not going to say.
Now, who is
hello?
That? Is that Temperance?
No.
That's Gil.
This is Lisa.
Oh, Lisa!
Yeah, I said it 5 times at the same time as everyone else.
Now, I'm expecting your lupus to go away now, Lisa.
I know, I thought you were.
I expect a miracle now, because your energy is...
from it, too.
Mm-hmm. Your energy has shifted.
Feel that?
I do. I can feel your energy now.
Wow. Like I have it.
Yeah, I can feel it even in between the calls. I think of you, and I feel the energy.
It's amazing, because I've had so much energy this whole weekend and today. I've just been trying and getting things done.
Yeah. You know, Lisa's been coming into the calls now for probably 2 years, right?
Yeah, not 3. It might be even longer.
And when she first started coming into the calls, she was kind of depressed all the time. And
yeah.
She was, I think, was that? Can I? Is that true?
Yeah, my energy was low.
Her energy was really low, and she was sick, and she couldn't manage. And a few weeks ago, what happened? You asked the question, and they connected.
Yeah, you asked the question on my behalf after I asked the question about my health.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a little while later. You asked the question, which I appreciate.
Mm-hmm. And then you had a shift, huh?
I think so.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It feels like it.
And who just came on the call?
Amy from New York.
Jamie?
Amy from New York.
Beamy?
A-M-Y.
Oh, Amy. Amy. Amy, you sent me a question, didn't you?
I didn't yet.
You didn't yet?
No, I didn't send one. Maybe, unless my friend forwarded you one.
No,
maybe.
Amy, I didn't. I'm Amy's friend, Mara. I didn't send it to him.
No.
Oh.
Maybe it was another Amy, okay? But I look forward to your question for Wednesday. You know, this call is getting hotter and hotter. And what's so neat is that we have these phenomenal sources. I call them sources. You know, it's like energies. They have names. They give themselves names to us anyway, because it's easier for us. But, you know, they give their names to different people at different times. But the amazing thing is that they say they're at the beginning of the universe. They're outside of time, and they can connect with us on the call. And I mean, they could connect with you irregardless of whether you're on the call or not. But the problem is that it's really hard to connect with an energy that's not... doesn't have a physical representation in a body. And so we've learned just through trial and error that they they could be on this call energetically. And apparently this is a very rare thing to occur. And it's like by connecting with their energies, automatically, and I say automatically, for some people it's very fast, and for other people it can take months. But if you dedicate, if you consider that this might be true, and you keep coming into these calls, you stand a really good chance of making that connection. And there's a lot of benefits to making that connection, because suddenly, if you when you start to hold the energy of the connection, you start to understand what it means to be in this realm, but not of it, because your part of you is holding the space of other dimensions, and the things that happen down here aren't so traumatic. You can roll with the punches of things that happen. And not only that, as you create intentions, your intentions become far more powerful, because it's no longer your intentions, it's your intentions plus our intentions and their intentions all coming together. And they work with intentions as long as they fill the criteria of being for the highest good of all concerned, and not violating free will. And sometimes that's tough, because we want things to happen, and it may not be in the cards for it to happen. Sometimes a healing for someone we care about. And then sometimes it happens. A lot of it has to do with the openness of the person you want a healing for. And the openness to the person does not mean that they have to be on these calls and listening to the calls. It means their energetic openness to you. How well do you energetically connect with the person? Because the way it seems to work is that if you start connecting with the energies on the call, and then you're connected energetically to someone in your life, the energies can flow through you to that person. And you almost don't have to do anything or explain anything. They feel it. I've learned, you know, I started talking to these guys, and I started to experience personally that energetic connection. I started to experience it. And at first, I thought it was my imagination. First, I thought, I must be making a mistake. And then when I would give talks, the room would just turn to light. And what I realized was, when I held the connection, then other people would connect, could connect with the energy through me. So it kind of spreads. And it's not logical. If you're trying to understand it in your mind, it doesn't make logical sense. Because we think of knowing something, we want to talk to it. How are you doing today? How's, what'd you have for breakfast? And just to be able to feel someone's energy. Like, try it. Right now, think of someone in your life that you care about, and see if, send them light, and see if it comes back to you. You know, that's like a little reference point. Like, for, here's a good example. Think of Terry. Let's all send loving energy to Terry. And you notice how you can feel that bubbly energy in your heart come back. And I'm sure she felt it. There's somebody hanging up that didn't feel it. Hang on, let me.
Entry and exit chimes are off.
Now we won't hear people when they hang up. I won't feel rejected. So this has been a big experiment. Is I don't know what I'm doing. And they don't tell me what to do. You know why they don't tell me what to do? Because I won't say they don't know what they're doing, but they don't know how to make it work in this realm. It's very tricky down here. And oftentimes they try to make things work with someone and the person goes on an ego trip, or he thinks he's holier than thou. I had other lifetimes where I was like that, so I know the pitfalls. But, you know, the more ordinary you are, the easier it is for the energies to work through you. And that's one of the keys, to be ordinary and transparent so that you can hold the space of those energies. And all of you can learn how to do that, or learning how to do that. And those of you that want to learn how to do that and that keep coming into the calls. Now, you may be able to do it without coming into these calls, or you may have someone else that can help you with that. But this is an unusual opportunity to do it. We're not charging any money. It happens often enough. We do enough calls a week so that you have plenty of chance to immerse yourself in this experience. And I think another benefit of connecting with these energies, now this one I can't prove because I'm still in a body, but I've asked this question and they've said it's true, and it makes sense that it's true, that when you die, when you leave this realm, and we're all going to die, you're going to go, the energetic connections you've made are going to go with you. So, for example, one of the reasons people reincarnate is because they make energetic connections in this realm with people, and when they die, they feel incompleted, and they have to want to come back and keep completing all of those connections. Or sometimes they really care about someone, and you don't remember this once you're in a body, but you came in particularly in a very act of loving service so that you could be with that person you cared about. Because if you weren't there for them, then they may not ever get a chance to evolve. It's, you know, it's very special, relationships of deep, loving connection. So there's nothing wrong with coming back in this realm, but it's good to come back because you choose to, not because you have to. And when you connect with these sources, there's a good chance you'll have more choices. And also, I should say, it's a great sacrifice every time you come back into this realm, because in spite of your intentions, in spite of your desires to be of service, this realm has so many traps in it that it's so easy to fall into a trap and get caught in endless cycles of reincarnation again, even though you graduated from this realm. And that's the topic that we're going to talk about tonight, starseeds and wanderers. And that many, many people, millions of people, maybe multi-millions, who are alive in bodies, have come in from higher dimensions. And once they're here, got trapped. And hang on a second, I'm going to mute everybody. And thank you all for saying hello, and special thanks to all the new people on the line.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
And I know at least a couple of my lifetimes, and I know that I came back and got screwed up again many times. In fact, you know, there's a couple of exalted lifetimes I had that I'm pretty sure were real. But I also know that they said this. They said, I came in many times and was an orphan, died young, all kinds of times when it didn't stick. So coming in from a higher realm doesn't mean that it's smooth sailing. In fact, sometimes it's rougher than people that are just able to go and track this realm. And the things that seem to be oh, how would you say it? You know, having a wonderful love relationship, romantic, or having lots of money, or having a beautiful family. Those are good things. And, you know, oftentimes people come into incarnations, for example, because they got into really good families and they have children, and then they reincarnate again as the grandchildren or the great-great-grandchildren, and there's something they know intuitively that through having children in the right way, it sets you up in the future to have the potential to have a life in that same family. So that's one of the reasons having children is such a an attractive thing for many people. And also, it can hook you into reincarnation, because now you have a whole group of people down here you care about, i.e. your family. And I remember one time we had a, somebody had a reading, and in the reading, it was brought up that their mission in this life was to get out of tribal consciousness. And this person had a wife and four kids, and he was totally dedicated to his family. He's a really good breadwinner. And yet something was missing for him. Because, you see, you can become part of a family. You can become part of a group, even a religion. And it becomes a tribe, because it's not unconditional love. It's love within a small circuit. And it can become very addictive. And when you move into, or when you attempt to move out of that, it doesn't mean you have to leave your family. In fact, you'll probably be a better family member once you move into the law of one, or unconditional love, or being able to hold a loving space in your heart, no matter who's around you. But one of the predispositions in this realm is tribalness. And whether that be a family, whether that be a religion, whether that be nationalism, many, many different kinds of ways of being part of a tribe. And there's a great sense of reward in belonging, except you're belonging to the physical realm. And when you're belonging here, you have to keep reincarnating here. So, starseeds and wanderers are the two names our sources have given for people that come from higher dimensions that take on bodies. And we talk to two group souls, and they actually usually talk to us together, and then they shift according to who's best at answering the question. And star seeds have been described as from the Elohim, who came into this realm. And wanderers is the word Ra Group uses for coming into this realm. And, you know, this classification of group souls, Elohim and Ra, is for many people, it's a new distinction in the way the universe works. So if you're new and haven't heard me describe this distinction, the Ra Group is a huge group soul. They call themselves a social memory complex. It's like a huge city of, or even a country of souls that are all working together to contribute to evolution. And they're made up of entities that have graduated from the physical universe. Not necessarily on this planet, other planets, but even other star systems. And they get to a certain level and they group together And then they act as a team to help planetary populations that are still going through cycles of reincarnation, that are still stuck in this realm. And according to my studies, the Ra group was who was speaking through Edgar Cayce. The Ra group spoke through Carla Ruckert in 1981. The Ra group spoke through many of the prophets in history. The Ra group was connected to the incident of Jesus, and Jesus might have been a member of the Ra group. So, but all of that stuff you shouldn't believe until you study the materials. I did a lot of study, really a lot, to come to the place where I was fairly sure of my conclusions. But you shouldn't believe me. You should, if you haven't read The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, I highly recommend reading it, because half the book is the Ra group. And the thing about these group souls, they say this, as you read their words, their energy is embedded in their words, just as when Terry channels. Their energy is embedded in and around Terry's voice. And reading their words helps speed this process of connecting with them. The Ra group had said in the book, as you study us, we study you. So they can feel us. Some of you are feeling an energy around you. Now, they don't intrude. If this idea of being connecting to an energy in another dimension scares you, or you're concerned about it, or you're not sure if it's positive, they won't come into your space until you're comfortable. So you can listen to these calls and read the books and decide when and if you get comfortable with that. And if you don't, then this is not the right place for you. But the Ra group is wiser to the ways of the world than the Elohim group. They're wiser because they had thousands of reincarnation episodes. They've had all the experience of this realm. They have somewhat of a direct experience of suffering here. And so if they didn't do what they did, there's a good chance this realm would just float off and be a slave realm owned by the negative. And so they have worked very closely with humanity. And they work closely with us because they can work closely with us. The Elohim group, by and large, even though they have star seeds, by and large, have not come into this realm. And they work at a distance. But when I say it's a distance, even that is not exactly true, because as some of you have learned, the Elohim comes in as huge light energy and is very expansive. And some of you can sense the expansion when they're connecting with you. The Ra group can feel like they're inside of you. They're very close. It's like having a bunch of angels all over your body, surrounding you, touching you, and being up close. The Ra group can come into your dreams. And if you follow the protocols in the Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, you can get dream messages from them. That's what happened to me when I was 2 years into writing the book, and Daphne started channeling. And I asked them, and they said, write your dreams down. And it was crazy, because suddenly I'm getting dream messages, and I'm thinking, am I crazy? Can this be real? I must be missing something. And it just kept proving itself over and over to me. And so you have to let it prove itself to you. You can't believe this. This is not something to believe. It's not a religion. It's an interaction that has the potential to validate for yourself. Now, for those of you who come under the category of starseeds and wanderers, and I said in my email that many of the people that are paying attention to my work fit into that category. or else they wouldn't be interested. They'd look for something else. And if you come into that category, then the energies will flow more easily, because in a sense, these energies might be looked at as home, that somewhere you came from those groups and you have an easy resonance to their energies. And when you're on this line, if you feel that energy space, it says, this is familiar. Even if you've never experienced it before, it feels familiar because you did experience maybe many lifetimes ago, many before you came into physical bodies. So it's an interesting mechanism by which the universe evolves itself. It evolves itself by having the source of energy, the creation of the universe source, kind of available to connect, but they need someone down here to make the connection. Otherwise, they're just too far away. And you have the graduates who work more closely and start talking to prophets and religions and spiritual groups. In many cases, were connected to the Ra group, and occasionally with the Elohim group. And it's a new look. You know, I say on my website, a new way of understanding the universe. And I thought when I first said that, who am I to have this new way of understanding the universe? But that's where you have to read my story, you have to read the books, so that your conscious mind can assimilate all the things that seem to indicate that I've got it right, that this is a correct viewpoint. Not because I say so, but there's too many things tying things together, and that anyone can look at them and find them if they look. But the thing is, they're scattered throughout history, and I would have never even known to look. Of course, in the period of time today, one of the things that is different than any other time in history is that because of the internet, if you want to look for something, it is really easy to find. You don't have to go to the library. You don't have to buy books. Everything in the world, on some level, is on the internet. And I can say that if it was not for the internet, I wouldn't be doing this right now, because I couldn't have done all the research, the cross-referencing, that would have convinced me that this was real. First of all, I wouldn't have had the time to do it. I wouldn't have had the resources to do it. Now anyone can follow in my tracks and do the research. If you know the things to search for, they'll come up and you'll say, wow, that fits with this, and this fits with this. And it's a really coherent explanation of evolution. And when you come into these calls, we have the most amazing conversations with our sources. And we bring up any topic, and I ask questions, and they answer them. And certainly Terry does not have the knowledge, not close to the kinds of questions that I ask her. We can't be making it up. Terry cannot be delusional. And then we have miracles. And people come on the calls and something phenomenal happens. So these are things you just have to keep watching and paying attention. And I'm saying all this because we have a lot of new people on the line. And I want to encourage you that the fact that you're here, they've said this, and I believe it's true, this is a very rare event that we're doing here publicly. And so please take advantage of it. Come into the calls as much as you want and as much as it adds something to you. And if it doesn't work for you, that's fine. If you think we're all crazy, that's fine. But for many of you, this is going to make an incredible difference in your evolutionary path. It's like a turbo on your path. It's a turbocharge, because otherwise you're just stumbling around in life, falling over yourself. Many of us, not all of us, but many of us, getting into bad relationships, finding, you know, it's hard to find something that reflects the purity of your soul back to you. And I believe that happens on these calls. And I'm not doing it. I'm a facilitator. I'm just, my job is to be neutral, ordinary, transparent, and let things unfold. So on that note, I'm going to call in the light. Now, the light's already here. You don't have, you know, when you say an invocation, then people think there's magic in the invocation, like abracadabra. This invocation is actually intentions. It's a group of intentions. And if you just say it, mumble it, it doesn't, you might as well say Coca-Cola. But if you say it and you can mean it when you say it and you can track the intent, it helps focus the energies. And it's easy for me to do it because the energy is already here. How do I know it's here? Take a moment, shut your eyes. Feel the top of your head. Some of you notice that we can stop, and the energy doesn't stop. The energy is there. I'm not entertaining you, because if I was entertaining you, when I would stop talking, it would feel awkward. It would feel empty. It's like a comedian. It would be like a comedian on stage is telling all these jokes and suddenly stops and says, okay, guys, let's feel the energy. People would laugh. But he couldn't do that for very long because he works in a worldly level of telling jokes and keeping people entertained. This is not entertainment. And take a moment again. I don't want to waste our whole call by being silent, but we could. We could spend 20 minutes doing a meditation and feeling the energies, because these are the energies of the higher realms, I believe. It comes in from the top of your head, your crown chakra. So we're going to do that invocation, and we're going to ask questions about starseeds and wanderers that perhaps no one in history has ever answered before. Because this idea is, how do you know that's true? When you're in this realm, I mean, if somebody made up that idea from this realm, where would they be? Well, people would think they were crazy. Oh, you're from another dimension. Yet, in science fiction, this is a fairly common idea. There was a book called A Stranger in a Strange Land? That is the title of a science fiction book by Robert Heinlein that describes wanderers. Let me see. Have I muted everybody? I think so.
All callers are muted.
Okay, everyone's muted. And Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
Are you fidgeting?
Am I what?
Fidgeting.
Fidgeting? No.
Okay. Now it's 6:43, and we can go a little longer tonight because they don't have a show on after me. Is that okay? Are you up for it? If I go like 10 minutes longer, Terry?
Let's stop at 7.
Okay. All right. It's 6:44, so that gives us 16 minutes, right?
Right.
Okay. One thing I want to mention before we do this is Dee Collier. Her husband is having a hard time with his health problems. And so I don't do this for everybody, but if somebody's on the calls regularly, I do it because I know they're connecting to the energies. In other words, if somebody hears the call for the first time and somebody is sick, we just have too many people. It's not a wise use of time for the highest good of everybody. But when somebody is checking into the calls all the time, and then it's kind of like there's a family feeling that develops. So after we call in the light, maybe they can send some energy towards Dee's husband. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the planets, through the outer energy fields of the Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy for all of those who would free willingly choose to participate. And we maintain the sovereign integrity of our souls. So in creating a group energy, we're not losing ourselves. We're just connecting to something that always exists. At the same time, we're still in our separate human body. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And take a moment, before they talk to us, take a moment and feel the energy again in the silence and see if you notice a shift. Okay, I turn it over to Terry.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is June 6, 2011, and we are permeating the atmosphere, the grids around planet Earth, and are observant of those individuals who are wishing to connect and reaching to connect with us. And with joy, we connect, as it has been a long time since we have had such an opportunity as each and every one of you on the calls that is open to connecting. It's been a long time since there have been so many people reaching to connect. And we ask if you have questions.
Our topic tonight is star seeds and wanderers. And the idea that there are many people on our planet who volunteered to come here to be of service. And that according to the Carla Rucker channelings, there's more raw group people here, and that 90% of them get lost once they come back down. They get caught up in, I think the word she used was the maelstrom, in this level, in this realm. And I think they know that on the other side, that when somebody volunteers to come here, they know there's a 90% chance they'll get lost, but they still come. And I think they do that because the 10% that doesn't get lost makes a tremendous difference in this realm. So why don't I, we'll just focus on the raw wanderers right now. And why don't I just let you discourse on wanderers?
Thank you. When an individual from the other side decides to incarnate into a body in the third dimension, they do not take into account, in most cases, the body system that they will be inhabiting in the Earth system. And on the other side, they have a body which is more of an astral body. And this body is very much in the individual's control and at their beck and call, and working in harmony with the individual. Once the individual moves into the Earth plane, they take on a third-dimensional body which is more remote and has more body systems operating that are dependent upon the intake and the outgoal of energy sources such as water and food and minerals, vitamins. These can become out of balance and the body becomes harder to control. And the body then can take on a atmosphere of life of its own, which it is harder to keep in harmony with it. The individual coming from the other side often does not realize that as they move into the veil of the body, the veil of the consensus reality of the others around them, the veil of the family and their prejudices and beliefs, that as they take on these new ideas and these new cloakings, that it can disrupt their own center and can move a being more harshly into the third dimension than they would have thought when they were moving from, say, the fifth dimension to the third dimension. This, then, is the reason that many get lost, in that they take on the cloaking of the third dimensional belief systems, the third dimensional body system, the third dimensional problems that can go wrong with body systems, and they become immersed and enmeshed in that as Carla Ruckert would say, the maelstroms of the life in the third dimension. It embroils them and their energies and attentions in the realm, and they forget why they have come and where they have come from. Those are comments.
How can a person tell if they're a raw wanderer?
To some degree, they never forget, and it will resonate with them, the idea of raw, the energy, once they can sense the energy of the raw group, such as carried in the book Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, Curious Raw Energy. And then individual then can sense the energy, and if it resonates with them as a familiar energy of home or a fulfilling energy, then they may have come from the raw group.
So one way is that people in the raw group will resonate with the words of the raw group, and they'll identify and connect easily with the wisdom of the raw group when they read it. Yes?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. And how many people, if this can be looked at, how many people are on this planet right now who chose to come back here from the raw group?
We get 60 million.
60 million. Thank you. And a question that I ask is, being that 90% of them get lost, according to Carla Ruckert, on the other side, do they not notice that guys are getting lost? Is that information not available?
Yes, particularly the Elohim notices, and the raw group, some sections of the raw group also notice, and these individuals are sorely missed. They're among some groups. There is frustration in that they wish to see and be with their friends again, and they feel that their friends aren't going to be coming back, and it is very frustrating for some of us on the other side.
Do all members of the raw group on the other side have astral bodies, or do they fan out into higher dimensions, and some of them are pure energy, and then the lower ones are fanned out into astral? Which is the correct viewpoint on that?
There are the ones with the astral type bodies, and they can live in an astral type setting with buildings and rivers and surroundings that they can move in and out of, and the others can, and some prefer it, to not have an astral body of the nature of a human, but to have the astral body of the nature of a ball of energy such as an orb. But it makes it easier to travel if one is of an orb configuration?
When we see an orb, is an orb an indication of one soul? And are orbs always from the rock?
Orbs are not always from the rock group, and it can be one or more souls.
And are can orbs be of the negative as well?
Give us a moment. Orbs are generally of the positive.
Thank you. Well, you know, we're coming up on 7 o'clock. I'd like to ask about the Elohim, and maybe would it be wise to close now on Terry's behalf and then just continue on the Elohim starseeds next week?
You can ask one last question and then continue next week.
Okay. Well, the Ra group members that come here are called wanderers. And could you tell us a little bit about Elohim souls that take on bodies? And how many Elohim souls have bodies in this realm?
Give us a moment. Elohim souls do not take on a body as readily. If you mean the third dimension and the third density in general,
I'm thinking more of just on planet Earth.
Yes. We would say approximately 12 million.
Okay. And
they generally group together.
Mm-hmm.
They generally come in groups, such as in the Mormons.
They come in as groups because they think there's going to be more support and less chance of getting lost. Yes?
That's correct.
Ra group does not do the same thing. They don't come in as groups.
They are more wanderers, and they move into different situations.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you know what? We'll continue this next week. We'll find out more about the Elohim starseeds. We may have some questions about Mormons and see what comes up. And for my own comments, I know that I have, observed the differences after having all this cosmology in my face all the time, that I started paying careful attention. And I started to, just for your own understanding, I can tell you my view of what I would consider a really old Ra soul and an Elohim soul, and pick people that you all know of. And you could pick, for example, now I've never asked this as a question, so I may be wrong, but this is my take. Somebody like Leonard Cohen, the singer, who had all those wise songs, and perhaps even Bob Dylan, perhaps, were Ra wanderers, and very evolved Ra wanderers, because they demonstrate the wisdom of this realm in their songs. I believe I'm a Ra wanderer. Now you don't have to be that wise to be a Ra wanderer, but I'm giving examples that I think are true. And if you take an Elohim starseed, you would look at Donnie and Marie Osmond when they were younger. You know, they've gotten into this realm, and you can see they've had children that have had problems, they've had relationship problems. You can see how it gets screwed up. But when they were younger, they had this beautiful angelic radiance and love, and it was unusual. And to me, that is one of the signs of an Elohim starseed. And the Elohim, when they come into this realm, don't have the wisdom of this realm, the maneuverability. But they have a lot of power and a lot of charisma and a lot of angelic energy before they get screwed up, if they get screwed up. They also can turn negative. Because they have power, they can have the ability to control other people. And they don't know why they're here. They don't remember it, but they know that they, because of their ability to control people, they can create subservience and making life easier in this realm by having people subservient to them. And even historically, when you use the religious terminology, which all of this fits in with religious terminology, but not in such a limited vocabulary. But if we talk about fallen angels, you could be looking at Elohim souls that came into this realm and had a lot of power and were able to use their power to try to create control mechanisms over others in the realm. So, on that note,
do you have any... Can we tell something lovely to decoy your husband?
Yeah. Maybe we can close, and if there's any message to Dee Collier for her husband, you can include that in the closing, and we'll say goodbye. Thank you, guys, for reminding me. Do our sources have any closing comments?
Thank you. We see that there is more than one source of pain, and pain is an imbalance in electrical potential in an area, and we suggest they get further information on possible consultant doctor from Tyrion Lynn. And we send love light to Dee and her husband, and also everyone on the line. And thank everyone for your participation. Adonai.
Thank you. So thank you all for being here. Take a moment. Let's send love to Dee's husband. And because we don't usually do this on our Monday calls. But we do take questions and stuff like this on our Wednesday calls. And I use my, again, for healing stuff, it's always better if someone's been on the call regularly. The energy flows better. Because otherwise, people actually are not connecting to the energy, and they just expect magic to happen. And usually, sometimes magic happens, but usually it's for people that have connected to the energy. The more you connect with the energy, the more you can be a relay station for the energy, for the people you care about. It's just like we're being a relay station here on this call for our planet. And without a relay station, no one can feel the energy. No one, people are insulated in their own lives. So on that note, I thank you all for being here. I'm going to unmute everybody.
All callers are unmuted.
Everyone's unmuted. If you want to say goodbye, I'm still recording. We thank everyone who's listening on the replays. And we
send D. Collier, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you, too. Thank you, Wayne.